He caught one of the punchers by the arm and threw him as hard as he could. It hurled Ender out of the way of the rest of the first onslaught, though he still wasn't getting any closer to the door. "Stay there," he shouted at his friends, who obviously were forming up to come and rescue him. "Just stay there." Someone caught Ender by the foot. The tight grip gave Ender some leverage. He was able to stamp firmly on the other boy's ear and shoulder, making him cry out and let go. If the boy had let go just as Ender kicked downward, it would have hurt him much less and allowed Ender to use the maneuver as a launch. Instead, the boy had hung on too well. His ear was torn and scattering blood in the air, and Ender was drifting even more slowly. "I'm doing it again," thought Ender. "I'm hurting people again just to save myself. Why don't they leave me alone so I don't have to hurt them?" Three more boys were converging on him now, and this time they were acting together. Still, they had to grab him before they could hurt him. Ender positioned himself quickly so that two of them would take his feet, leaving his hands free to deal with the third. Sure enough, they took the bait. Ender grasped the shoulders of the third boy's shirt and pulled him up sharply, butting him in the face with his helmet. Again a scream and a shower of blood. The two boys who had his legs were wrenching at them, twisting him. Ender threw the boy with the bleeding nose at one of them. They entangled, and Ender's leg came free. It was a simple matter then to use the other boy's hold for leverage, to kick him firmly in the groin, then shove off him in the direction of the door. He didn't get that good a launch, so that his speed was nothing special, but it didn't matter. No one was following him. He got to his friends at the door. They caught him and handed him along to the door. They were laughing and slapping him playfully. "You bad," they say. "You scary. You flame." "Practice is over for the day," Ender said. "They'll be back tomorrow," said Shen. "Won't do them any good," said Ender. "If they come without suits, we'll do this again. If they come with suits, we can flash them." "Besides," said Alai, "the teachers won't let it happen." Ender remembered what Dink had told him and wondered if Alai was right. "Hey, Ender," shouted one of the older boys as Ender left the battle room. "You nothing, man. You be nothing."
"My old commander, Bonzo," said Ender. "I think he doesn't like me."
Ender checked the rosters on his desk that night. Four boys turned up on the medical report, one with bruised ribs, one with a bruised testicle, one with a torn ear, and one with a broken nose and a loose tooth. The cause of injury was the same in all cases. Accidental collision in Null G. If the teachers were allowing that to turn up on the official report, it was obvious they didn't intend to punish anyone for the nasty little skirmish in the battle room. Aren't they going to do anything? Don't they care what goes on in this school? Since he was back to the barracks earlier than usual, Ender called up the fantasy game on his desk. It had been a while since he last used it, long enough that it didn't start where he had left off. Instead, he began by the giant's corpse. Only now it was hardly identifiable as a corpse at all, unless you stood off a ways and studied it. The body had eroded into a hill entwined with grass and vines. Only the crest of the giant's face was still visible, and it was white bone like limestone protruding from a discouraged, withering mountain. Ender did not look forward to fighting with the wolf children again, but to his surprise, they weren't there. Perhaps killed once, they were gone forever. It made him a little sad. He made his way down underground, through the tunnels, to the cliff ledge overlooking the beautiful forest. Again, he threw himself down, and again a cloud caught him and carried him into the castle turret room. The snake began to unweave itself from the rug again, only this time Ender did not hesitate. He stepped on the head of the snake and crushed it under his foot. It writhed and twisted under him, and in response he twisted and ground it deeper into the stone floor. Finally, it was still. Ender picked it up and shook it until it unwove itself and the pattern in the rug was gone. Then, still dragging the snake behind him, he began to look for a way out. Instead, he found a mirror. And in the mirror, he saw a face that he easily recognized. It was Peter, with blood dripping down his chin and a snake's tail protruding from a corner of his mouth. Ender shouted and thrust his desk from him. The few boys in the barracks were alarmed at the noise, but he apologized and told them it was nothing. They went away. He looked again into his desk.
His figure was still there, staring into the mirror. He tried to pick up some of the furniture to break the mirror, but it could not be moved. The mirror would not come off the wall, either. Finally, Ender threw the snake at it. The mirror shattered, leaving a hole in the wall behind it. Out of the hole came dozens of tiny snakes, which quickly bit Ender's figure again and again. Tearing the snakes frantically from itself, the figure collapsed and died in a writhing heap of small serpents. The screen went blank, and words appeared. "Play again?"